Jai Radha Madhava Kunyabhiya Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunyabhiya Hari Gopi Jala Balabaha Girvane Rahani Gopi Jala Balabaha Girvane Rahani Yashori Nandana Braja Janarangana Yashori Nandana Braja Janarangana Yamuna Tiravana Chahari Yamuna Tiravana Chahari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyabhiya Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyabhiya Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyabhiya Hari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramaham Tapravrajakacharya Asto Tadasata Shishiman. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shishi Radhashama Sunda Ki Jai. Shishi Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories, Shishi, Guru, and Guranga, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is a good way to make sure the younger devotees give more classes. You keep it really dark over here in the corner, and eventually the older people are all going to have to say, I can't give class over there anymore, can't see the book. Thank you. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So today we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 20, and there's a few verses starting with text 143, and there's no purport to speak of until we get to 148. So we'll read a few of these. How do you do it here? You don't repeat the text, right?
As you like.
Okay, it's a lot of text. I think we'll just read it. Okay. Now, all the Bengali people are requested to either step outside or close your ears until I recite the Bengali, okay? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Due to that, you have to take a vow of nonviolence before I begin. That's very good. Anybody here? Warning everybody. Anybody else? Yeah, it's personal. Okay. Any spirit souls who still think they're Bengali and think there's a proper way of chanting Bengali are requested to step outside, etc. Okay. So, and actually some of this is Sanskrit too, so it's a mixture. Okay, so text 143. Boy, he's dark over here. Veda Shastra Kahe Sambanta Abideya Prayojana Krishna Krishna Prema Prema Tina Mahadhyana. Translation. In Vedic literatures, who's speaking here? Remember who you, it's kind of important section. This is Lord Chaitanya instructing Sanatan Goswami. In Vedic literatures, Krishna is the central point of attraction, and his service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, Krishna's service, and love of Krishna are the three great riches of life. So therefore, Krishna, Krishna's service, and love of Krishna are the three great riches of life. Vedati sakala shaste Krishna mukya sambandha tanrajane anusanga yaya maya bandha. In all revealed scriptures, beginning with the Vedas, the central point of attraction is Krishna. Interesting. In our revealed scriptures, beginning with the Vedas, so meaning there's other scriptures that aren't the Vedas. In our revealed scriptures, beginning with the Vedas, the central point of attraction is, everybody say, Krishna. It's up there, right? When complete knowledge of him is realized, the bondage of Maya, the illusory energy, is automatically broken. This is a long text here. This is from the Padma Purana. Vyamohyaya chara charasya jagatas te te puranjanamas tam tam evahi devatam paramikam jalpantu kalpavadhi siddhante punar ek eva bhagavan vishnu samastagama vyapareshu vivechana vyaktikaram niteshu nishchifute. There are many types of Vedic literatures and supplementary Puranas. In each of them, there are particular demigods who are spoken of as the chief demigods. This is just to create an illusion for moving and non-moving living entities. Let them perpetually engage in such imaginations. However, when one analytically studies all these Vedic literatures collectively, he comes to the conclusion that Lord Vishnu is the one and only Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport, Prabhupada explains, this is the verse in the Padma Purana, 146. Mukya gona viti kamva avanya vyatireke vedera pratikya kevala kahaya krishna ke. When one accepts Vedic literature by interpretation, or even by dictionary meaning, directly or indirectly, the ultimate declaration of Vedic knowledge points to Lord Krishna. Text 147-148. Kim bidhate kim ashtaste kim anuja vikalpayet ityasya hridayam loke nanyuma veda kashtana mam bidhajate bidhate mam vikalpya payodate yanam etavansa vivetartha shabda ashtaya mambidam mayamatram anujyante pratisidya pachigyati. Translation. What is it? This is from the Bhagavatam, 11:21, 42, and 43. What is the direction of all Vedic literatures? On whom do they set focus? Who is the purpose of all speculation? Outside of me, no one knows these things. Now you should know that all these activities are aimed at ordaining and setting forth me. Krishna speaking to Uddhava. The purpose of Vedic literature is to know me by different speculations, either by indirect understanding or by dictionary understanding. Everyone is speculating about me. The essence of all Vedic literatures is to distinguish me from Maya. By considering the illusory energy, one comes to the platform of understanding me. In this way, one becomes free from speculation about the Vedas and comes to me as the conclusion. Thus, one is satisfied. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. These two verses are quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 21, 42, and 43. When Uddhava asked Krishna about the purpose of Vedic speculation, the Lord informed him of the process of understanding Vedic literature. The Vedas are composed of Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda. If one analytically studies the purpose of the Vedas, he understands that by Karmakanda, sacrificial activity, one comes to the conclusion of Jnanakanda, speculative knowledge. After speculation, one comes to the conclusion that worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate. When one comes to this conclusion, he becomes fully satisfied. Om Gyana Tumyanda Shachanan Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umi Tamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Nyena Bhutale Svayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Svapanantakam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Nigaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So it's always nice to get a chance to visit Alachua Dham again. See, every time I come, when you stay in one place, you don't see the changes so much, but when you come from time to time. Like, I think the last time I was here, I don't think the altar was completed. When was that? Yeah, when? When were they installed?
2 years?
2 years, no. Just 1 year ago. Just see, for everybody that lives here, it's like, oh, they've been there forever. It's eternal. It's eternal. But I remember the previous structure. In fact, the curtains open, I guess when I came for darshan yesterday afternoon, I thought, that used to be white and was made of slightly less, more flimsy material last time I was here. Those of you remember, it was whatever it was. It wasn't eternal. It was, and it's so beautiful. And Lila Sukha Prabhu sends me pictures of the deities pretty regularly. And this community has definitely blessed us some very, very gorgeous deities. And the standard of worship here, I mean, I'm not an expert on deity worship. And of course, the deity ministers would never say because they wouldn't want to disturb anybody, but the standard of worship has got to be one of the highest in the world. Yes. Really, in terms of, you know, all the fresh flowers and the attention that goes in and the detail, and you know, you just look at Krishna's turban, it's like, wow. And then it all becomes unwrapped and he gets a new one tomorrow, right? Which is pretty amazing. Yeah. It's nice too, I've never seen this process of listing the names of all the devotees that do the deity service. That's very nice. That's something they should pick up in other places. Because certainly we should all be thinking that without those devotees and doing that service, you know, where would we be? How would we be inspired if nobody was dressing the deities beautifully? So it's so nice to see.
He said it's quite beautiful in the evenings or in the mornings. You'll see like a whole bunch of assistants back in the back room.
Nice. Working together to serve Krishna. Yeah, it's nice. It's beautiful. This process we've been given is so wonderful. I know sometimes I travel, not so much the last couple of years, but we teach different seminars in leadership or communications. And one of the exercises, one of those, you have devotees sit together and talk about how they came to Krishna consciousness and then why they stay. And I'm always astonished at the variety of experiences. And I remember, I think it was in Brazil, just speaking with, and you see this everywhere, that maybe people in the room have the same experience, but devotees will say, I just came to the temple one day and I saw the deities, and I knew that he was God, you know, or I just knew I couldn't leave, or I just knew, whatever's happening here, I want to be part of that, you know, and different people are, because Krishna's so kind, especially in this age, he comes in so many different ways. And other people to say, I was walking down the street and heard a kirtan, and it just stayed with me, and I couldn't leave it. And I just had to participate. And other people say, you know, when I sat down with my beast the first time in the Chanting Japa just took me to a whole other plane. And other people, when I read the Bhagavad Gita, I knew that was it. And of course, I think at least 74% of devotees will say, when I had my first Sunday feast, prasadam plate, you know. All the other categories, about 20, 23, 24%, you know, 76% of us just. So whatever it is, Krishna is so kind that he comes in so many different ways. So here, a beautiful whole series of verses, whole chapter actually, 406 verses, where Lord Chaitanya is directly instructing about Krishna and about bhakti to Sanatana Goswami. So I was kind of made a little bit of a summary of this series of verses here. And he explains, he says, Krishna is the center of attraction. His service is our activity. Love of Krishna is the ultimate goal. Like I was on a plane yesterday. Normally, I don't like talking to people, but this guy sat down to me and I thought, he's going to talk to me. I can just tell he's going to talk to me. You know, one of those people, before they even sit down, they're saying, hi, where are you from? You know, like, oh, no, please. I have grounds to check, you know. I was planning to look out the window and ignore you, but it was not. He was a nice person. I learned a lot in conversation with him. He had a PhD on researching geese. Yeah. And where I live, there's a pond with geese, so I observed them coming and going. And, you know, so I was actually quite interested in what he knew about geese. And I was thinking, I'm probably the first person he's ever sat in an airplane with that actually has interest in the geese. Because he kept saying, you really know a lot about geese. I was like, well, you know. I'm glad I'm inspiring you to think that your PhD has some value to enlighten other people. Anyway, he's also very active in the United Nations work, like environmental efforts. So geese was just his kind of entranceway to the planet, so it was interesting. But he would, you know, ask me, so I don't know about you British guys, I don't know much about Hare Krishna, what's it about? And I was just thinking, not having been out with COVID as much, it's like, gosh, you get asked that question, and it's like, well, which of the 5,000 angles of answering that question would you like to hear? You know, do you want to hear about bhakti? Do you want to hear about God? Do you want to hear about prayer? Do you want to hear about, you know, meditate? Where do we start? So anyway, here, Lord Chaitanya is like just like summarizing the whole thing. So continue. Service and love are our greatest riches. The central point in all scriptures is Krishna. When we realize him, Maya's illusion is broken. Or the illusion of Maya is broken. The devas, which are glorified so many places in the Shastra, actually, they're there to create an illusion. That's what was reading in the verse here. But if we study the Vedas deeply, Vishnu is the one point. The Supreme Lord is the one point. And whether one accepts the Vedas by interpretation, you know, we hear so many times, oh, don't interpret. Saying, you know, interpret by different types of looking at this way, that way, different analytical study, or by the dictionary, which I was understanding, you could technically follow the particular, you know, direct meaning of every single word. It doesn't matter. They all point to Krishna. They all point to Krishna. And then, again, continuing just these few verses. All knowledge and activities aim at Krishna. The essence of the Vedas is to distinguish Krishna from Maya. Like, what's the purpose of the Vedas? To help us distinguish Maya from Krishna. That's the purpose of it, illusion or ignorance. And by considering Maya, and also interesting, one comes to Krishna as the conclusion. And then the last point made here, thus one is satisfied. I was thinking, wow, what a beautiful series of sutras there. Kind of, I was thinking, I wish I had the book with me yesterday in the plane. That guy said, what's this all about? Well, give me 1 minute here, I'll tell you the whole thing. So it was kind of reminding me, when I was a college student, way back in the previous century, and I remember I was in my spiritual quest trying different things and hearing from different people. And I went to hear one yogi speak who didn't speak English, but he had a good translator on a big stage, a room full of people. And the one point I remember this teacher made was you have to know yourself. And he kept saying that again and again and again, know yourself. And I'm thinking, okay, so when's intermission? So you're going to come back and tell us the answer to that question. He said it, as I recall, multiple times. And I was sitting in my seat thinking, I got it. I got to know myself. So, you know, I don't remember if I, you know, paid $10 to get in or just spent a few hours. Like, so, okay, you got my attention. And there was like, thank you very much, Swami, and thank you all, and visit us. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. You kept saying know yourself, so what's the self? And he never went there. He never went there. He just kept saying know yourself. So it's like, well, at least tell us what you think the self is. Maybe I don't accept your understanding of it or your arguments, but at least tell me. And he just didn't explain. There was no clarity at all. And I was thinking, reading this, wow, this is not the problem for the Hare Krishnas. You know, if anything, people tell us, you guys are too convinced. You know, I remember when we did some media training years ago and hired some professional people and had a lot of devotees came. Actually, Sudharma was there, as I remember, and Mukunda Maharaj and a whole bunch of different people. And at the end of this long day of how do you answer difficult questions and how should you plan on this and, you know, sit up and smile and things that we still teach 20 years later. At the end of the day, I remember they gave us some advice. They said, then you do media interviews? You're too philosophical. That was their advice. You got to dumb it down. I don't remember that's the word they used, but that's what they were saying. You're too philosophical. You're speaking too high of people aren't thinking the way you folks are thinking about stuff. You need to make it more simple if you're going to connect with people. And these are professional people. They're, you know, they're training political leaders and authors and scholars and, you know, authors of cookbooks. How do you connect with your audience? And they were saying, you know, the Krishnas, you know, your problem is you speak too high. So this idea of this yogi who couldn't give any kind of clarity, it's definitely not our problem. And I've heard, you know, Prabhupada would sometimes say in his lectures, he would say that so many people say that you can't know God, they don't know God, this, they said, you ask me, he said, I'll tell you God's name, his mother's name, his activities, and his address. You know, it's like, and I was thinking if Prabhupada was, you know, physically present today, he would say, I'll give you his Facebook page and his email address and, you know, his WhatsApp account. You know, I got it all. I tell you how to connect with him. So, you know, here Lord Chaitanya, he's emphasizing, and a lot of this is Shastra, you know, there's different, they're quoting from the Bhagavatam, he's quoting from the Padma Purana and different places, that the end is Krishna. You know, of course, so many verses, but the Gita, the classic, right? Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Matta sarvam parvartate iti matva padante mam buddha bhava samambitaha. He summarizes it all. I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service with all their hearts. It's like that's the whole, what we just read, even summarized even further. It's all coming from him. If you understand that, you worship him with all your heart. So, and Prabhupada, of course, comments, you know, we look around the world, it's like, of course, bhakti is the whole process of becoming aware and convinced of that. We look around the world, and there's not a lot of people who have that kind of clarity. I mean, people are really unclear about what they're supposed to do. I read an article recently was talking about which careers leave, and which degrees leave you the most frustrated, you know? And it was kind of a sign of the times because it was saying that actually those who study liberal arts and humanities are the most frustrated. But then it mentioned because they make the least amount of money. And what they didn't do, because it's, you know, journalism's not always so deep, I was thinking, well, why don't you come back 5, 10 years, 20 years later and see who's the least happy, you know? Other people that were maybe trained to think a little more, because that's kind of like they say humanities, you know, they train you to think, they don't teach you technology so much. So maybe the technological jobs bring more money, but they actually bring people more satisfaction down the road, and that they didn't look at. But either way, you know, Prabhupada talks a lot, and we all talk about it because you see it all around us. The modern world, there's so much frustration. I read a horrible statistic, one that should scare all of us and make sure we pay a lot of attention to our own kids, because they're affected by what's going on in the world today. This was a very elevated source of knowledge. There's the Vedas, and then there's the American Association of Retired People. So a lot of people here probably get your free magazine every month if you pay $5 a year subscription. And in an article just a few weeks ago, 1 out of 10 high school students in the United States admitted they attempted suicide in the last year. 1 out of 10, 10% of high school students in the last year alone, not like during their 4-year term in high school, 1 out of 10 in the last year attempted, 1 out of 5 thought about it. You know, not just like, okay, you know, the mind's crazy, everybody, some thoughts jump in your mind sometimes, jump off this bridge. but actually thought about taking their life. 1 out of 10 actually tried it. Now, as you know, I was talking to Bodhi's last year. I mean, that's a real sign of mental health issues. You know, those are real serious mental health issues, something we should be concerned about. So Prabhupada talks about this in the context of frustration and about how people in the world are so frustrated, and he explains the reason that one thing he says, they're frustrated because their lack of an ultimate goal. You know, it's one thing to kind of, you know, life is tough and it's difficult, and you know, if you're a student or you know, you're trying to get your degree, okay, I've got a goal, I'm going to work hard, I'm not going to go to the party because I've got to study tonight, or I'm not going to, you know, eat that extra offering of halava, prasadam, because I'm trying to lose some weight, or, you know, I'm going to get up early because I'm going to do special yajna for Kartik season. So if there's some goal there, even if there's difficulties, then we're inspired, or even more inspired. But if there's no goal, it just becomes frustrating. It's like, well, what's the point of it all? And we see in the day today that people are so frustrated. And here in these verses, Lord Chaitanya is teaching Sanatana Goswami and all of us, we're so fortunate. Here's the goal. Understand this is the goal. Make this your goal. And as he says at the end, and if you do so, then you'll be satisfied. But Prabhupada says, because people don't have a goal in this day and age, that's why they're so frustrated. And we can see, you know, you drive down the road, there's billboard after billboard, or the radio, or the social media, you know, check the news. It's bombarded with different people and entities trying to tell us, make this your goal. This should be your goal. And people are blown, like they say, right? The will of the wisp. Whichever way the wind blows, they pursue this, they pursue that. Yesterday, when I was flying, I noticed, I looked up, I was on a conference call, somebody looked up, and I saw this person come by in a really brightly colored dress, really attractive, kind of like white, blue, and red dress. And it kind of caught my attention because I thought, that woman really doesn't know how to walk. You know, I mean, women walk in a certain way and men walk in a certain way. And then I just thought, that's really kind of a funny hairdo that lady has. And then, wow, that's kind of a broad chin that lady has, and et cetera. And then I just realized, okay, you know, this is a person who was born in a man's body, who's decided they want to live out their life, at least for some time as a woman. And we know there's so much going on in the world out there today, and okay, people have a right to do what they want to do. But it just occurred to me, this is a person thinking, am I life frustrated living as a man? Maybe if I live as a woman, it will make me happy. Maybe, that's my problem, isn't it? And, you know, other people, you know, I mean, when I was buying the plane ticket down here, it's like, would you like 500 extra airline points? You just have to wait for, you know, listen to a 2-minute presentation. I thought, okay, 500 air, maybe it'll give me, okay, sure, go ahead. So this lady comes on, hi! And I thought, oh, wow, a salesperson. This is, you know, and it was anxiously, hi, how are you? No, I'm okay, what are you selling me? And, you know, typically it was timeshare. And I didn't really want to make her feel bad, but I kind of felt like saying, are you the same company that the lawyers run the ads on my local radio telling me if I want to break the contract with you, that I should call them because they'll get me out of the contract that you're trying to sell me because down the road I'm going to realize that you ripped me off? Are you the same company? You know, of course, I didn't say that. I just told her, you know, Mary, I'm really not interested. At that point, she's like, oh, okay. You know, you see the smile go away. It's like, all right, I can rest now because this is not a serious candidate. But, you know, so like, yeah, just buy this thing, go here, go there. And of course, and people are pursuing that because they're looking for that goal. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe that, maybe that. And again, contrasting, here Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Sanatana Goswami, out of all the scriptures, this is the goal. Out of all the austerities, this is the purpose. Out of all relationships, this is the highest. And if you study the scripture, maybe you'd be confused. There's so many different things are there. But remember that Krishna is the ultimate plan. And I was just thinking, as Vaishnavas, we're so fortunate by the blessings of Guru and Krishna and our founder, Acharya, and all the Acharyas, we're so blessed to actually know what should the goal be. And I remember, like, again, you know, as a student, there was a group back then, musical group, they had one song, always sticks in my mind, we're all looking for someone. And that resonated so much with me at that time, because I was thinking, well, maybe it's this girl. Oh, that was miserable. Maybe it's this girl. Oh, boy, that was really rough. Okay, maybe this, maybe that. And when I remember when I came to the Krishna temple in Ann Arbor, Michigan, one of the devotees said to me, Krishna's the one we're all looking for. And it gave me hope. I thought, wow. So there is someone, something, someone out there who's actually, because I feel this drive. I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for something. And everybody's feeling that. And that's why they're thinking, well, maybe the new car, maybe that'll make me happy. Or, you know, okay, I'll wear a pair of pants today and maybe tomorrow I'll wear a dress. Or I'll cut my hair short, or I'll grow my hair long, or I'll go to the beach, or I'll go to the mountains. And this way, tick, 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 life's passing by. And then, of course, Krishna's, you know, the world's out there. Like, you know, okay, I don't like this man's body. I want a woman's body. Okay, well, that didn't work either. How about a bear? I mean, that's our whole understanding. That's why there's such diversity in life. Whatever the soul wants, you know, we hear the number, 8,400,000 different species. All because people don't really know what the goal is. So here, in very simple terms, Lord Chaitanya's explaining the goal. And it's important to us as practitioners of bhakti that, of course, we keep focused on that goal, and we're very careful to associate with other people that nurture us in that goal. And I think equally as much, very important, we see these things. So many devotees have been around for a long time now, and some wisdom comes. We have to be kind to ourselves in that process. Very often you meet people that gave up Krishna consciousness because of their own frustration. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. These material desires are coming back again. You know, I can't keep up with other people. And they either kind of back off from the association with the devotees for some time, or sometimes, you know, yet again kind of jump into the material world, which is, you know, ultimately you just get frustrated again, you come back. We've seen that also too many, many times. But it's really important that we're kind to ourselves and that we simultaneously push ourselves. You know, no goal can be achieved without pushing. But just like a good coach, you know, coach knows how to push their trainee to stretch themselves, but not to break them. You know, bad coach puts so much pressure. You know, you're too skinny, you're too fat, you're too this, you're too slow, you're too whatever. And then the person, adult or kid, just gives up. You know, I can't do this. A good coach is like, no, you're doing great. Keep it up. Okay, you slid. You know, okay, you lost a second compared to last week. That's okay. Okay, we lost the game. Wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, 49-0. I mean, you know, there's been worse losses than that. You know, I mean, it's okay. You know, you slipped on the track and you came in 3 minutes later than the other slow. It happens, you know. Just, you know, pick yourself up. And that really is such an important part of Krishna consciousness for ourselves and also for others. It's so important in our encouraging others in Krishna consciousness, because the process of bhakti, as we hear and we can't forget, the process of bhakti is so open to others. It's open, you know, walking around here, it's like, wow, do I look as old as he does this time I'm visiting? You know, and so it's open. Old people, young people, you know, grihasthas, brahmacharis. I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, there's always, and it's wonderful, there's like some temples you go, there's a new wave of brahmacharis. And sometimes they're really mature brahmacharis who are thinking, wow, I'm so fortunate to be in this ashram. Chances are in the future I'm going to be grihastha like most of these other people, but let me relish the chance I have now. You know, and then occasionally run into a few brahmacharis. They're kind of in the mood of like, grihastha. See, what was it Jamunacharya said? You know, right? Or women, or whatever. Or, you know, I didn't like to use the K word, non-devotees. And, of course, it's immaturity. It's something we share with some of our other fellow religionists who tend to think they've got all the answers and nobody else does. But Krishna consciousness, somehow we have to develop this, like both our conservative side and our liberal side. And like Prabhupada didn't like it. Allen Ginsberg, I think it was the New York Times, he was quoted as saying that Bhaktivedanta Swami is very conservative. And they were reading the article then, and Prabhupada said, what is this? What is this conservative, you know? conservative. I'm coming from Vrindavan. I'm living in the Lower East Side with a bunch of drug-addicted hippies and trying to convince these, you know, maleches to take up... This is conservative? You know? And then when Satsarupa Maharaj was reading it to him and said, Satsarupa Prabhu at that time, he said, well, Swamiji, you know, he's talking about the principles. I said, yeah, of course, we have to be conservative on that. You know, but so in the same way, conservative that we're focused on Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya has pointed out, that we don't lose our intensity of desire and vision and goal. I want to become a pure devotee of Krishna. I don't want to be distracted by any kind of maya. So that conservativeness we maintain. But the liberality of being able to be a little generous with ourselves when we don't come up to the mark, because we simply don't. Let's just take that for granted. I do not come up to the mark. Okay, great. Let's accept that. So what's the good news? Well, I chanted today. Wow, you're doing great. You know, I don't come up to the mark. Well, I read some shastra today. Wow, that's great. Fantastic. You know, I didn't come to the mark. I dressed the deities today. And, you know, I'm sure here everyone is expert, but I remember in my days of deity worship was like, how was it dressing today? Well, I only think I poked Jagannath about 4 times, so I think I'm doing better, you know. If we could get longer pins, maybe it'd be a little easier for me to, you know, get that. So, you know, we have these limitations, but the whole culture of Krishna consciousness is based on everybody is able to make progress. And this really is the essence of what Lord Chaitanya is saying here. It's the essence of Lord Chaitanya's movement. I think this is so important to continuously be reminding ourselves. We live in a world today that is so polarized. Everybody's walking around thinking, I read something the other day that said that, unlike in previous periods of time, you know, political people never liked the other side so much, but it's saying, you know, in recent years, Democrats didn't like Republicans. Republicans didn't like Democrats. Now they not only don't like each other, they say the other ones are a threat to the country. Like, you're like the enemy. Yeah, I was speaking to this British guy, the geese expert, yesterday about politics in England. He was saying, you know, it's not like that in the UK so much. Because there's, you know, there's rivalry, but there's a shared sense of we're in this together. And he said he's kind of shocked at how polarized it is here. And, you know, the same thing in so many different ways in the world, politically, and not just politically, so many ways. So we have, like, a very, very powerful message, which is anti-polarization. You know, Prabhupada was anti-polarization. Lord Chaitanya is anti-polarization. Because here, he's teaching, this is the highest, this is the essence of the scriptures. This is the essence of what the yogis are seeking, all their austerity. This is the essence of the brahmanas and all the rituals and all the yajnas and all the study and all the tapasya and all the years of brahmacharya austerity. This is the essence. And then who is he teaching it to? There's two ways of looking at it. But one way is Sanatana Goswami, who's fallen from society. He's fallen. He's like the lowest of the low in that time, you know, their sectarianism and their caste separation from he had been working for a Muslim king, so he's outcast. Now in other places people say that Lord Chaitanya, I've heard scholars say that one difference between Jesus and Lord Chaitanya is that Jesus did not have a Jiva Goswami or a Sanatana Goswami, or you know, he Peter and Paul stopped fishing, follow me. These were highly elevated and educated people from that side. But from the social context, these are the dregs. You know, really, they were outcasts. They were outcasted from society. That's who Lord Chaitanya is giving the highest message to. And Rupa Goswami, similarly fallen. Haridas Thakur, again, back in the area when birth was so important. And Lord Chaitanya made him the Namacharya. That's Krishna. You know, it's not like he said, okay, somebody, can like, the assistant of my assistant, some of you people like a long distance from me, can you go out and show we're inclusive? It's a little beneath me, you know, right? I mean, some of the political leaders, like, they won't show up to an event, but they'll send their assistant, show up and read something, because they don't want to directly go. There's Lord Chaitanya himself demonstrating this, about how inclusive Christian consciousness is. And we look at Srila Prabhupada, just carry that forward even more. You know, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in their old times as well. But for sake of time, jump right to Srila Prabhupada. you know, came to the West, the most degraded part of the world from a Christian conscious or Vaishnava point of view, went to the Bowery, which is the most degraded part of the world from anybody's point of view, even New Yorkers, which says a lot. It's the most degraded part of, you know, even New Yorkers. I'm not going there. In fact, who was it? The electrician in Prabhupada's, we were staying with Dr. Mishra, said, don't go to the Bowery. He heard he was moving to the Bowery. Even the, you know, the electrician, carpenter, somebody said, don't go to the Bowery, Swami. It's not a safe place. It's a dangerous place. Even they said, don't go there. Prabhupada went there. And he picked up hippies. You know, he's walking across drunks to get to his place where he's attracting hippies. And, you know, you read Lilamrita and other accounts of those earlier days. Prabhupada was they were, you know, not everybody, but there was a fair amount of drug addicts. They were sex addicts. They were Maya addicts. These were people that did, and Prabhupada went right there. There's, Allen Ginsberg also talks about one of the videos that talking about Prabhupada, how uses some beautiful poetic language, how majestic it was, or how wonderful was it. Prabhupada went right there to the Lower East Side with the dregs, and where they really needed that kind of compassion. So that's why we're here, because of that quality, and that's why we are able to continue trying to be Krishna conscious. And I think it's important when we read these texts and we think about Lord Chaitanya is giving the highest thing to someone, according to the social order at that time, was fallen, and Prabhupada gave to the fallen. We have to be really, really careful that we maintain that mood in the Krishna conscious mood, especially moving forward. There's a tendency, those of us that are have bodies now that are over maybe 50s, where you start to realize it. There's such a thing known as calcification, right? You see that. Anybody watch me? I do not get up as fast as I used to, you know? And you see people like, you know, our angle of sitting, you get calcified, right? You can't move as much. You get stuck in a certain position with age. We have to be really very, very careful and attentive that our movement does not become calcified. Lord Chaitanya came, I don't know the right term, but I think to decalcify the culture. Jesus, same message of bhakti, decalcify the culture. Those that, you know, a little bit about that was all about the Pharisees and the people who are entrenched. And you can't preach to the ordinary people. And according to the classic scene of the Bible, right, he goes into the temple, it's all full of people changing money. Because they're going to go, you know, do some kind of sacrifice and, you know, whatever the process was, you know, killing animals was part of it. And he got so upset, just threw all over the temples. And, whoa, now you're a marked man. Now you challenge the financial system of the temple, the religious people. You are finished now. That was when he really faded himself in terms of their eyes, you know. And Lord Chaitanya is like, okay, they tolerate it, but when they go on the streets with mass following, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. If these people follow you and if they're chanting, they don't need to come to us anymore. This is a threat. We better get the government. Same thing with Jesus. Let's get the Romans. Same thing. And the Romans said, yeah, we don't want anything to do with this. So same thing. They went to the Qazi. Qazi said, okay, I'll try to do something in Lord Chaitanya, you know, the history. But same thing. They're threatening the status quo. So it can become calcified. And many of us maybe came from another tradition, not all of us, but a lot of us, that we felt had become calcified. You know, you go and you ask the minister, the priest, the rabbi, the imam, whatever, and, you know, they're like, well, I don't know. Just come on Sunday or come on Friday or come on Saturday, and that's all you should do. I know my wife had some friend, there was one friend of hers from a Jewish family, devotee, who went and asked her rabbi, well, how will I know God? Right? You're a young person, 13, 15, how can I know God? The rabbi, you will never know God. It's like, okay, I'm out of here. Right? So in a similar way, our movement, why is it that so many of us are devotees? Because we walked in the door and they said, wow, you're welcome here. You know, you're a woman, you're a man, you're young, you're old, you know, half your brain is ruined from taking drugs, or you're an atheist or an agnostic, or you've got so many stupid ideas, you're going to argue with us for days, or you eat this, or you don't eat this. You know, doesn't matter, you're welcome here. Isn't it? That is the mood. That's Lord Chaitanya's mood. It's Prabhupada's mood. It's got to be ISKCON's mood into the future. But there's a tendency to become calcified. And we have to stand, each and every single one of us, every member of the movement, every follower of Prabhupada has to stand up against that misunderstanding and misapplication, because that's the essence of who we are. You know, people start saying, you know, emphasizing too much that, I mean, I remember, a lot of us remember, there was a sannyasi later in a way, I think he's got his own movement these days, a few years ago, wasn't far from here. If you're really a devotee, you got to fast on Ekadasi all day and stay up all night long. Remember that, Tom Har? Were you around there? You get aware of that? Yeah, Chitari, we were in Colorado at that time. It's like this thing swept through. If you're really sincere, you got to fast all day from everything, you know, near Jala, on every Ekadasi, and stay up all night and chant. Okay? Which is like, wow, that's a nice austerity to do. Great. If you can do that, fantastic. But it's like, well, Prabhu, excuse me. Now you're sleeping through the morning program. And you can't go out and book distribution or worship the deities or cook for the deities or work in the office because you have to sleep during the day. There's a problem here. Okay? Austerity, yes. Not doing service because of austerity, no. But those moods sometimes kind of come through. And we have to be, you know, be very careful. Oh, yeah. You know, it didn't happen. There wasn't a whole lot. But there's a few devotees in the past. Well, if you're really serious, you got to go to Radha Kund and chant whatever, 120 rounds a day. Only a few people did that. But then the sense of like, this is real bhakti. And even in these days, the moods change tremendously. But there's a famous story. Prabhupada went to Atlanta, had a meeting with the Sankirtan devotees who asked him, Prabhupada, what service is best? You know? And before he answered, let me turn around so you can like physically slap me on the back, pat me on the back. You know, don't just do it verbally. You know? So obviously, you know, in their sincerity, they want to be enthused by their guru. And Prabhupada's answer was, when you love Krishna. You know, and he said thousands of times, book distribution is the most important. But he wanted to make the point to them, you know, you should understand when you love Krishna, that's what it's all about. If you're just selling books with some material motivation, okay, that's beautiful, but you got to go beyond that. And if somebody's humbly washed in the floor, but they're full of love of Krishna, that's what really pleases me. You know, so he clarified that standard for us. And Prabhupada, I try to listen to a lecture every day from Prabhupada. And he just seems, right now I'm going through arrival addresses. And Prabhupada traveled a lot. There's like, every week there's two arrival addresses. You know, there's so many arrival addresses. And he says again and again and again, he keeps making this point. He goes, the best religion is the religion that helps you awake the love of God. If you're awakening love of God. And then he go on to say, well, you know, here's what it means to awaken the love of God, and here's why I'm teaching Krishna Bhakti, because the level of God consciousness is so wonderful. But his basic point was about waking love of God. That's what's really there. So in humility, I think, you know, we all have to really be thinking, and of course we said that disciples should always feel a fool, themselves a fool in front of the spiritual master. I think the similar mood is I'm always trying to awaken a little love of Krishna. Pladnana Maharaj was telling us recently, I don't even know the name, so I don't have to reveal the name, but there was some devotee who was like on the sannyas list, and they were, one of their things these days, a little more of a process these days, those of you thinking about it, it's another level of austerity just to get to that ashram. But one of the questions is, so describe your own level of Krishna consciousness. And he was saying this one devotee said, well, usually it's prema, but from time to time I kind of slip back down to bhava, you know. So as a result of that, I've heard from the sannyas committee, that person kind of slipped back from the one-year waiting list to the five-year waiting list, you know, that sort of something to that effect. So, you know, we always have to remember, you know, I'm still such a neophyte trying to awaken the love of God. And wherever I see a little glimmer of it, I have to fan that, you know, in myself, and don't beat up whatever the shortcomings are, and in others. That's such an important thing. That's really what I'm... That's Lord Chaitanya went out into the street, you know, and you see these beautiful paintings of Lord Chaitanya, and there's so many different types of people following him and chanting, and he didn't discriminate. Of course, he taught a process of elevation as far as who's welcome to come. He didn't discriminate. So it's so important for us to always remember, how do we open the doors wider? Because there's a tendency to start narrowing the doors. Well, if you're really a devotee, as I mentioned years ago, you have to, only if you distribute books. So we've seen in our movement, and we can't forget this, and the young people need to study the history. 1976, I was there as a bhakta wondering, like, something's going on. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of mumbling in the hallways here. And what it was Tamal Krishnamurti, you know, great soul, but Krishna used him, or Krishna brought it out of his heart to help train the rest of us. Women can't live in the temples anymore. Out, ladies, out, 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 out. Grihasthas, out, out, out. Go figure it out yourself. This is a place for brahmacharis and sannyasis. And if I remember right, I think the GBC, somebody help me, I think the GBC like went along with it. There was some influence. And it went to Prabhupada, who was, you know, still there checking everything. And I think Prabhupada actually even thought about it for a day or two, which I don't know if it means he gave it serious thought, I doubt it, or how to respond to it. And, you know, there's a classic story at that time. Somebody had I think there was, he came back to his room, there was, I think it was a hand-sewn bead bag, or somebody had, some lady, Vaishnavi had sewn, and Prabhupada picked it up and said to someone, how am I supposed to reject this? You know? How can I reject this? And I think that's so much Lord Chaitanya's mood. Nobody's rejected. In his Prabhupada's moods, nobody's rejected. In ISKCON, nobody's rejected. And that we need to really be ready to struggle to keep that mood alive, because it can slip back. And that's, we're a movement first and foremost of bhakti. And we have very strict rules. You know, it's not that we throw the rules out, you know. You want to take up the process, well, here's the steps you have, but you can come, everybody can chant, everybody can see the deed, everybody can take prasadam, everybody can hear the class. And if you want to make further advancement, well, we recommend do a few things here. You know, adjust your diet a little bit. You know, like, right, sometimes people come and say, wow, I'm only eating meat 6 days a week. You're like, wow, that's great. Good job, Tom. I know that was tough for you, right? That doesn't mean we encourage you to eat meat. We're helping to make the next step. So that type of reinforcement. And in that mood, I just want to mention a couple of things. Kazishwar Prabhu just moved in, just real briefly. Because somebody may say, hey, wait a minute, Lord Chaitanya just said it's Krishna, 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 Krishna. So what the heck do we need a day for Ukraine? It's all about Krishna. It's Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And, you know, and it's directly Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is saying it's directly Krishna. It's directly bhakti. And again, it's, you know, I mean, I remember myself, thank you, Krishna, for forgiving me. I coming back from Sankirtan and thinking, why all these grahastas are here? You know, Chitari and I and other, we're out like 7 days a week, you know. We're like going in a bar sometime at midnight trying to raise money and sleeping 6 hours and getting up. And then we bring the money back and they're just paying for a bunch of grahastas. That was our, I mean, you probably never thought like that. You're too nice of a guy, you know. But you know, so then just this narrow sense of you know, why do we do marriages? You know, I used to talk about the first marriage I attended, I didn't attend. I was in the room next to the room where the temple was, where the marriage yoga was going on, reading the pastimes of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute, right? You know, so we could build our strength. Which is like, wow, that's great. You know, you're brahmacharis and focus your mind, and that's good. And God bless you, and we need you, and we love you. And it's wonderful, young men, most, you know, in that stage. Wonderful. But it's not the only stage. You know, don't think it's the only stage. And sometimes we hear, you know, I've lived through eras where like, you know, like say the Bhaktivinoda Hospital. People criticize it. We don't need this. You know, we don't need it. We just need Krishna Bhakti. Yeah, we just need Krishna Bhakti until you break your leg. Until you have cancer, you know? Until you need an operation. You can't afford to get it done over here, so you get it done over there. So we don't need that. It's not something for a sannyasi, shouldn't go back to medical school. But if you went to medical school, why not practice at a Hare Krishna hospital? Wow, that's perfection. You know? So this is the core of our philosophy. You know, we need kids, we need marriages, we need women, we need men, we need sannyasis, we need women. You know, we need to care for all these living entities. We need to care for the planet. And I'll just read from Bhaktivinoda Thakur related to what's going on outside today. And maybe there's no time to discuss it. We can do it a little in another class. But I want to read one little excerpt, which I don't think a lot of us have heard. This is from the Sri Tattvam Sutram. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Those who think that devotion to God and kindness to the jivas are mutually different from each other and perform accordingly in their life, such persons will not be able to follow the devotional culture. Their performance is only a semblance of devotion. Therefore, all types of beneficence to others, like kindness, friendliness, forgiveness, charity, respect, are included in bhakti. Charity of medicines, clothes, food, water, etc., shelter during adversities, teaching of academic and spiritual education, etc., are the activities included in the devotional culture. So sometimes as devotees, you know, we sometimes think, I focus on Krishna and nothing else matters. I think it's the opposite. I focus on Krishna, all of a sudden everything matters. In the Prabhupada's example, you have a million zeros that are equal zero. You put a one in front, so much value. So, you know, being a Vaishnava means we care about kids, we care about women, we care about men, we care about atheists, you know. We care about the cows, but we also care about the trees, and we care about every living entity. And we care about people that are being exploited. We care about refugees. And we care about people being taught and kind of like, you know, antagonized into ill will towards each other. And therefore, we care about what little bit can I do in my day-to-day life, in my day-to-day words, in my day-to-day activities that don't displace Krishna. I was thinking, like Prabhupada says again and again, water the root of the tree, water the root of the tree, water the root of the tree. And it dawned on me just a few days ago, I was thinking like, but Prabhupada never says break off the branches. He never says pluck the leaves. He never says, you know, make sure the plant doesn't get any sun, so all the... He says water the root so the whole tree can blossom. So there's other aspects of the tree as well. You have to water the root. Doesn't mean you disregard everything else. Doesn't mean water the tree and forget if there's, you know, some pests come. Right, like Tulsi, we water Tulsi, but we still make sure that she doesn't get, spider mites, right? The globally present spider mites. So, in the same way, you know, Lord Chaitanya is saying, it's all about Krishna. Let's have that complete, deep faith. It's all about Krishna. Give our hearts to Krishna. Be merciful to ourselves, kind to ourselves. Don't break ourselves in our enthusiasm to get there, because it's going to take some time. Be equally compassionate towards others. Realize that our movement has to be equally or more so compassionate to others. Always welcoming, always opening. Be very careful we don't become calcified. No, you can only be, you're only devotee if you wear this color, or if you're in this gender, or if you do this service, or if you live in this country, or if you live in that country, or if you have this birth or that birth. You know, it's all Maya. It's just Maya. It's not Lord Chaitanya. He says here, you learn to discriminate between Maya and Krishna. So that's for our movement. That's a big part, big piece of Maya. So we're meant to be these wonderful elements of goodwill. And today, you know, there's some devotees that are very inspired to reach out and trying to make a little difference in a nasty world. And they're doing it by bringing people to Krishna's temple, and they're going to hear Krishna's name, and they're going to, maybe a few people are going to wander in. I don't know how many people are going to come from the outside, because we kind of got messed up the hurricane. One of the effects, not the most important effect, I'm sure, but, you know, that we had to change weeks, so some people maybe won't maybe get as big a crowd, or we don't know. But the devotees that are trying to do this to benefit people, their mind, body, and soul. And we're a package. Bhakti Tirthamaraj used to preach like that. I always remember we're a package. There's a mind, there's a body, and the soul. They all need some care. So thank you very much for your kind listening. Tamar Prabhu. So we can go on for a little bit? It's okay?
Is that?
Yes.
Okay, we'll do it right now. Can I take a question? Can I take a question? Is that okay? Okay, yeah. Okay, so Tamahar is a comment, correction, maybe a question. And then Kashyaswar's got a couple announcements to
thank
make.
You very much for the really nice class, and I really appreciated the way you connected so many different things, not only in the world, but in your own personal experience with Krishna consciousness. And I think that's a really nice way of being able, whatever you do and the people you encounter, to see the Krishna conscious aspect of it. So, and many things you're saying, just I'll try to be really quick here because I have a few comments. I just you just made me think of so many things during the class. Just a real quick one. One thing about that, because I remember several years ago, I don't know when we were in the GBC when we had that discussion that included the BV hospital, Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Also, I just wanted to add that not only the help they gave to devotees, but at that time, which was probably 10 years ago, they had made 800 initiated devotees.
And it's more now, I think.
The programs in the hospital. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, if I could make 800 devotees in my lifetime, I mean, it'd be amazing, you know?
Next time, go to medical school.
Right. And also, I was thinking about the, you were saying that the devotee was thinking he was on the Prema platform most of the time. Remind me of something. I read this in a lecture. It was a lecture of one of our sannyasis, I forget, but he was quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and apparently a disciple, someone said, came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and said, "Will I ever reach the stage of prema?" And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Yes, you will, but you won't know it." Which is interesting. In other words, you'll still think you're a humble fallen devotee when you're at the stage of prema.
Beautiful.
In fact, that is an indication of the stage of prema, of having that kind of absolute humility. You know, so that's another point. And then one other thing I was just thinking, you were talking a lot about kindness and tolerance and how we have to display that. And I was kind of connecting that when you were talking about sort of the artificial austerities that someone might try to do, you know, fasting or beyond their actual capability, beyond their level of actual realization and ability. That, of course, in the Bhakti Samriti Sindhu, Rupa Goswami talks about, you know, Yukta Vairagya. And in those verses about Yukta Vairagya, Jiva Goswami comments that Yukta Vairagya, yes, regular Vairagya, as far as austerity, he says, is not recommended for bhakti because it hardens the heart. You know, so we have to be very careful by, you know, being too austere artificially. Because the Goswamis were incredibly austere, but they're saying don't be artificially austere, your heart will harden, and that's the antithesis of bhakti, which is love and devotion. So anyway, thank you so much for inspiring those ideas.
Please.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your very illuminating presentation. The one pastime you were telling of when the devotees were saying no women, no, this and that, I don't believe you brought it to the conclusion of what Prabhupada actually said.
Yeah, it did get better.
What did Prabhupada say?
Yeah, Prabhupada eventually said, I don't know the exact, I have to go back and read it, but the result was Prabhupada rejected it and told them this is not acceptable.
Okay.
And it never happened. And then, you know, the one really dramatic point is that Tamal Krishnamurti realized he'd erred and he'd actually displeased Prabhupada in a conversation. He said, "Well, Prabhupada, maybe I should just go to China." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, very good idea." And of course, you know, Krishna describes in the Bhagavatam achieves so many things through one activity, and Prabhupada often did too. So he kind of showed the world this is so unacceptable. Because Tamal Krishnamurti, I think right at that time, that was the Radha Damodar. I know it was. That was the heyday, the Radha Damodar men. And, you know, he was the head of that whole party, and they were distributing more books. It was like, nope, you're going to go to China where there's nothing, and we're illegal. Yeah. You know, and start over again. But which ended up being very glorious because he went there and planted the seed of Krishna consciousness so many ways. But yeah, Prabhupada rejected that.
Also, earlier in your talk, you brought up that
is a good thing. It would have meant the end of the movement.
Yeah.
That would have been the end of the movement.
Without women.
Yeah.
So,
and grihasthas. Let's share credit there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Without women, without grihasthas.
Happy families.
Yes.
About dumbing down our preaching. What's our takeaway from that? The point you were making. In what context is the presentation too philosophical?
Yeah, I'll say from my communications discipline, we have to, when we interact with people, it has to be based on our concern what's best for them and what can they understand.
Yeah.
If it's based on what I want to tell you, because I like to say this because it's what I like about Krishna, or it's because, wow, I can really defeat you on this one, then it's not as helpful. I mean, it's still transcendental sound if it's connected to Krishna, but it's nowhere near as effective.
Okay.
So I think that's what they're saying. Okay. You know, in communications, I tell you, we have to understand who's the audience, what are their needs, interests, and concerns, and relate to that.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Especially just want to thank you for making that point about our need to avoid becoming calcified as a movement. You know, because Prabhupada at one point said, oh, every devotee should go to India once a year so they can become civilized. Mm. You know, as we're becoming more civilized, are we losing tolerance for being around people that are less quote-unquote civilized? So I really appreciate your making that point.
Yeah, as we get older, too. I mean, you know, I mean, a lot of times I see like some young person saying, that's a ridiculous haircut. And I think, well, actually, that's pretty mellow compared to what my friends used to have. You know, you got to keep things in context, too, you know?
Hare Krishna. So just carrying on what Raghatmika was saying, that, you know, one of the important things is I always think of Bhagavad Gita and what happened there was, you know, Krishna just didn't lay into Arjuna. He let Arjuna spiel out his problem, you know? And so I think it's really important to really hear where a person's at, like your friend on the plane, he was into geese, you know? And he talked all about geese, and then that hour opened a door for you to maybe... You listen to him, then he listens to you. And I think that's really an important process when you meet anyone is for you to hear them, and then they'll maybe hear you. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe anything about the guy with the geese. It was interesting because he was describing about how different birds have different types of impulses or, you know, whatever, abilities to migrate. And how the birds at the far north, the extreme north, birds that go to fly the extreme north fly to the extreme south, and there's some kind of standing. It was like, so I was saying, wow, this is really complicated. This is really complicated about how, you know, geese, you know, certain birds mate for life. And I say, well, what's going on there? I mean, you fly in a big flock. There's some kind of attachment, you know. So you just think, wow. One, we're not the only ones on the planet, and two, it's just so miraculous and wonderful what Krishna's designed, and you know, so yeah, and I think he was fascinated that there was a Hare Krishna was interested in hearing about geese, so hopefully that removes some of his obstacles. Yeah,
very nice class. I'm really impressed. I don't know if it is an appropriate question, but I thought still. So you talked about ISKCON pluralism. So pluralism does exist. Your view, what I heard.
Pluralism, I think, right?
Yes.
Diversity.
Correct.
Yeah.
Your view was very well established, but somebody may say you are like conservative, ISKCON conservative leader. No, liberal, I would say. More liberal. You. More liberal.
I've heard that once or twice.
Okay. And so what do you suggest when, because this morning we're talking, I won't say the name, we're talking about that there are maybe one or two few other leaders in ISKCON, within ISKCON, who are very conservative on certain issues like there should not be women leaders, or the whole list goes on. So I felt, I always thought like we take the value from both conservative and liberal and use it. But not everybody can do that. They will be disturbed. What is your suggestion in that case?
That's a beautiful question.
I mean, right now it is existing.
Yeah. Well, I think for one thing, I mean, a lot of things. For one is that, you know, right, what's that expression? this man can build a house in which the whole world can live. Didn't say this man's going to build a house in which they're all going to agree on everything. He didn't say that, you know. So there's going to be differences of opinion. If we're going to grow, there's going to be differences of opinion. And I always think, like, you know, I get to travel sometimes, and those of you that have been there, if you go to Germany, simple example, you better be ready. There's going to be bread prashad for breakfast, there's going to be bread prashad for lunch, and there's going to be bread prashad for dinner. If you want a late night snack, it's going to be bread. Okay? Now, you know, you go to Bengal, and it's like, you know, it's like a little bit of, no, a little bit, no, a little bit of rice, you know? And then it's like, oh, you know? And like, can I have a little more sabji? He's like, you know, a teaspoon. Like, no, 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 I can't, please, you know? So there's different varieties, you know? And there's going to be, and you know, like Kashishwar is here, like, you know, there's devotees that really inspired you to this program. Some of us may say, I don't want to do that, or that's not me, or I'm not sure. But that's okay. You know, that's okay. But I think that our movement is enriched by that diversity. We just have to see that different people have different expressions of Krishna consciousness and welcome that. And I think just in answer to the question about conservative, I think there's a big challenge now. Conservative according to whose definition? You know? I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, same thing. So conservative, and then he takes the chanting, you know, the topmost spiritual practice in the history of existence, he takes it out into the street and gives it to the lowest born people and everybody, you know, low, high. And Prabhupada crosses the ocean to find the lowest people in the whole planet, in one sense, to give them the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's mood. So when we say, like, let's say conservative, okay, you know, what's women's role? Well, the conservative view is, well, conservative according to what? According to, you know, women's roles in Chaitanya's time? According to women's role in Vedic India? According to women's roles in Prabhupada's movement? You know, what do we, like, conserving means like going back to the original, right? Or conserving what was there. So what are we conserving? And when Prabhupada's, this is, you know, gets into some of the fine stuff, finer things, there are wonderful devotees whose perspective on this thing I don't agree with, who will say, I've heard this argument, Prabhupada is a pure devotee, therefore, we know, guru, shastra, sadhu. The guru has to be aligned with scripture. We all accept that. Therefore, Prabhupada has to be aligned with scripture. So there's some scriptures that say women can't do this, women can't do this, women can't do that. Prabhupada has to be aligned with that because he's a pure devotee. Therefore, what Prabhupada did was an emergency. And it's up to us as the next generation to realign what we know it should be according to Shastra. Now, it's interesting because you look at that same Shastra, many of them will say, women can't do this, sutras can't do this, you know, malechas can't do this. It's like, well, let's look at the whole context then. And we know when you go back and say, well, what did Prabhupada say? And equally as important, what did Prabhupada do? You know, and who's our acharya? Is it my interpreting what Prabhupada meant? Is it up to me to try to think what Prabhupada meant and bring us back to what I think Prabhupada meant? Or am I just meant to be a humble servant and try to like make sure we continue what Prabhupada talked about? You know, and there were many things that Prabhupada said that he wanted to happen, but, you know, couldn't manifest during his lifetime, but he said he wanted it to happen. I mean, you know, we're here in Alatra. It happens to be the place the first disciples initiated by Vaishnavi in ISKCON. You know, Prabhupada was pretty clear he wanted it to happen. And the GBC studied it for 20 years because they knew this is a, in some people's mind, this is a very touchy subject, and we want to hear from everybody. You know, held it for off for another 2 years yet again to hear from everybody, hear their opinions. But then ultimately, the GBC has to say, okay, we've heard your opinions, we're going to do the best we can. This is our understanding, what's proper. And not only that, on this one, you can make up your own mind, regionally. We're convinced after 20 years of study, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, this is actually clearly what Prabhupada wanted, but we're still going to say you don't have to do it in certain parts of the world. It's up to your choice, which is flexible. That's really being flexible. Now, people say that's being too liberal. It's like, okay, That's why we need a big house, and we're not all going to agree. And let's take prasadam together and be happy that there's diversity of opinion on these things.
Ananta Mahaprabhu, may I give a little comment as a glimpse from life of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj as an answer to Pangalinda Prabhu's question? So, Raja Leela Mataji, who is a senior devotee and disciple of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, once she shared the story about Maharaj, that there was time when some of the leaders, some of the prominent preachers of our society, somehow publicly criticized Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And then there was a whole thing about that. So then his disciples rushed to him and asked, what should we do? This person criticized you. Then Maharaj said that I'm liberal by nature. I'm a liberal, and that person is a conservative. The point is that our society needs both types of people to make it successful. And in another instance, Maharaj said that the only reason why we have so much misunderstandings and quarrels is that we are all different. Now the question is how we can jointly, in cooperative mood, serve Srila Prabhupada and help him. And then it will be success. So don't you mind if I make some announcement?
Yes, now that you grabbed the mic. That was a good way to grab the mic. It was very well done. Bhakti Tirthamaj would have thought that was very, very strategic. Yeah. But it's a good point you made. Thank you. It's very, we need conservative. I mean, we need brahmacharis, we need gastas, we need sannyasis, we need vana, we need everybody. We need pujaris, we need cooks, we need sankirtanavars, we need people there. It's all needed.
Yes.
And same thing, conservative opinions, everybody. It's all needed to serve Krishna. So yes, please.
I'm kind of slowly trying to pull my agenda. Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for... for having Ananta Mahaprabhu. I'll tell you something, we take advantage of our festival because we can attract the wonderful Vaishnavas and leaders and senior devotees who can actually guide us in this festival. And first of all, I would like to mention that this festival, please don't take it as a political agenda. There is nothing else. We are equally treating all the devotees. We don't want anyone feel downtrodden or insulted